So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Thanks for listening in tonight. We're talking about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 4, The Whole World is Watching. I don't have much to add to the previous episode. The only thing is I don't think Zemo, Sam, and Bucky actually know anything about the Power Broker like I originally thought. I don't think anybody really knows much about the Power Broker at this point. And also, if you're on like social medias and stuff, Daniel Brühl, he did an interview about Zemo's dancing last week in that episode, and he said that he did a bunch of freestyle in the edit, and they took it all out. What we saw in the episode is what we got, and so a lot of the fans on social medias rallied together. They made a hashtag and everything about it, saying release the Zemo cut. And so Marvel heard all that. And so if you go to YouTube and type in Zemo dancing, you could probably find his whole little moment there. So that's pretty cool. And it's so hilarious, guys. But anyway, let's just get into the episode we're currently talking about, which is The Whole World is Watching. The synopsis reads, John Walker loses patience with Sam and Bucky as they get closer to learning what Carly Morgenthau is fighting for. So this episode starts out in Wakanda 6 years ago, and, it's, Bucky, he's in Wakanda, and, Ayo, the woman at the end of the last episode, she's there, and, they're trying to help him rid himself of being the Winter Soldier. And she's fixing to say the words to him, and he doesn't believe that it's going to work. You know, he doesn't trust himself, but she tells him that she won't let him do anything. You know, she's got him, you know. And so she starts saying the words, and he starts having flashbacks of when he was the Winter Soldier and all the things he had done. And she finally gets through to him, and he bursts into tears because, you know, he's free. He's free of being the Winter Soldier, and she helped him through that. She helped heal him. So, you know, when he got Zemo out of jail in the last episode, and he needed his help to find out the secrets about this serum and stuff. But see, they're here because they need Zemo because, you know, he killed the king of Wakanda, King T'Chaka, and framed Bucky for it. And so they're here to take Zemo back to where he belongs, or, you know, to get their justice for their king. But Bucky still needs him because they still haven't found out everything that they need to know about the serum. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Back at the campfire, where, you know, back in Wakanda, where Bucky is getting free of his Winter Soldier stuff, this scene right here, Sebastian Stan did such a good job. You know, every time Bucky has to show any kind of emotion from his past or anything, he does such a fabulous job, and I just want to give a shout out to Sebastian Stan right here, because yeah, that was a pretty heavy scene, and he did it wonderfully. So, but anyway, back in the alleyway, Ayo is asking Bucky how could he free Zemo, you know, for, because, you know, she, I believe she points out everything that Zemo has done, and she also points out everything that she's done for Bucky, and he tells her, you know, that he's very grateful for everything, and he tells her that Zemo is just a means to his end, you know, and everything, and but she gives him 8 hours to bring Zemo in, or she's coming for him. So the next scene we go to, Bucky is coming into Zemo's apartment where they're staying. And Bucky says that the Wakandans are here, and he bought them some time. And Zemo thanks Bucky for defending him. Or actually, they Sam asks Bucky if he was followed. And of course, Bucky says no. And Zemo questions, how do you know? And Bucky says, because I know when I'm being followed. But anyway. And then, again, like I said, Zemo thanks Bucky for defending him. And Sam is like, nobody's defending you. You killed the guy that made the super soldier serum. And while they're arguing over that, you know, what was right and what was wrong about all that, Bucky points out that Carly has bombed that GRC headquarters place. And then Zemo points out that she's getting worse and that she is a supremacist group. And, like, she's no different than the Nazis and Ultron, and then the Avengers. And Sam right here says, you know, watch your mouth, because those are our friends that you're talking about. And Bucky points out the Avengers, not the Nazis. But anyway. But Zemo, like I said, he points out that anybody with the super soldier serum, you know, the super soldier serum corrupts you, you know. I mean, it makes it either enhance, if you're bad, it's going to enhance that part of you, and if you're good, it's going to enhance that part of you. And Sam is wondering if there is a easier, you know, more peaceful way of stopping her, but Zemo is like, no, she's probably either going to kill you or you're going to have to kill her. And Bucky points out that Zemo is wrong, because Steve was not corrupt with the serum. And but Zemo points out that Steve was the exception to the rule, you know. So anyway, Sam, he points out that Danya was probably somewhat important, you know. And she's a lady that passed away in the last episode. And, you know, he talks about how his Titi, his aunt, was important to his neighborhood, and they had a big old funeral for her when she passed away, and it was a week long thing, and he points out that probably they're going to do something similar to for Danya, you know. So he suggests that that's where they should go, you know, looking for Carly to talk to her. And Zemo is like, yeah, that we should, well, actually, he says that his Titi would be proud of him, and you know, it hands them all candy, Turkish Delight candy. But, and that's going to be important later on. Anyway, in the next scene we see is Carly and her group, and they're sitting there listening to the news, and it's talking about the victims that were in that building that blew up. And it's, you know, it shows that was probably bad, because these people that were in that building, they were tied up and they couldn't get out. So, you know, they killed them in cold blood, or I should say, Carly did. And so, yeah. So the next scene we go to is back to Bucky, Zemo, and Sam, and they're going to this place where the Flag Smashers headquarters are, and they're asking about that woman, and nobody's wanting to talk to them. And so Zemo finally gets little kids to talk with that candy that he had. And he is so creepy right here. Getting a little ahead of myself, Sam upstairs, he talks to this guy. And this guy is pointing out how the GRC has promised them, you know, to do things for them. And they haven't sent what they promised. And anyway, back downstairs with Zemo, he gets the little girl to talk But he has her whisper in his ear because he doesn't want Bucky and Sam to find out the information. He wants to keep that information to himself where they can find Carly, you know, at the funeral. So they don't give him over to the Wakandas right after they get the information that they needed. So, yeah, he's using that information as leverage to stay, you know, away from the Wakandans. So back at the apartment, they come in and they're talking about how Carly is the only one. Well, Sam is pointing out that because Bucky says that nobody's talking about, you know, where Carly is. And Sam points out that because Carly's the only one fighting for them, because before the blip reset, communities and places were united, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, one community, it was the whole world. And now everybody's divided again. It went back just the way it was before the blip. So yeah, and Carly's the only one helping these people, you know, live. So of course they're not gonna, you know, tell them where Carly might be. And Sam is actually pointing out that Carly may not be wrong, you know. And she's really not, but she's not doing it in the right way. But, and that's what Bucky points out. He says that she's no different than even Zemo is over there. And so Bucky asks Zemo what he found out from the little girl. And he says he doesn't want to tell him because, you know, that's his leverage, like I said. And this upsets Bucky because, you know, because Bucky says that the Wakandans are out there probably lurking and waiting for him. And he gets up and throws the tea across the room, and, you know, it gets really intense right here. And Sam gets up and says, don't encourage him because he's just going to antagonize you with his stupid head tilt thing. I thought that was funny. But anyway, and of course Zemo straightens his head up after he says that. So, and Sam goes and makes a call, and Zemo offers Bucky some cherry blossom tea, and Bucky says no thank you and walks off. And that really did shake up Zemo, though, because that was an intense scene. I laughed at the head tilt thing, but that was a pretty intense scene because Bucky was like, you know, I'm gonna get you, you know. He was threatening him, so that was pretty scary. But anyway, so Sam calls Sharon to find out what she knows or if she can help them. And she tells him that she has a few tricks up her sleeve and that she agrees to help them. But she also says that they have to find Carly and get that serum back because the power broker is very upset because they killed the guy that makes the serum. So now, you know, Metropore is going to get really nasty if they don't, you know, fix the situation. So the next scene we see is Carly, and she's in the graveyard, and she goes to a tombstone and moves segments of it around and pulls out this it's like a bag with the serum inside of it. And she asks her little partner that's with her there if he thinks she's making a mistake by making more of them. And he starts talking about how his grandfather, I think, said that if you're doing something that makes you scared, then it's probably the right thing. And he also points out that he was a fan of Captain America. And, you know, he says back then that there was, you know, good and bad, you know, but the world is different now. He said that he didn't think there was ever going to be another Captain America. And he points out that Carly is the Captain America of today because she is doing things to help the people. And sometimes, you know, heroes can't keep their hands clean. And what she's doing will outlive that legacy of that shield. And she points out that the shield should probably be destroyed because it's a symbol of a bygone era. And what she's doing with the serum will outlive anything that the shield's legacy anyway. And but she said first we need to pay our respects to Mama Danya. And they walk away. So the next scene we see, John Walker has found Bucky and Sam. And he's saying that Carly Morgenthau is too dangerous for them to be pulling all of this on them. And but Sam They give Captain America or John Walker an update on what's happening. You know that they're going to see Carly Morgenthau at a funeral, and he says, good, well, we can go in and make our move. But Sam doesn't want to do it this way. He wants to wait for, I mean, he wants to go in and just have a talk with her while she's vulnerable. But of course, Captain America is not hearing any of this. But Lamar, his partner, says that Sam might have a good point, you know, that they should probably do it this way. And Zemo, you know, cuts them all off, and because the little girl is standing at the end of the roadway there, and she's going to show them where to go. The little girl shows them the way to where the funeral is being held, and John Walker grabs Zemo and handcuffs him to the thing and tells Sam that he's got 10 minutes to talk to Carly Morgenthau, and then they're moving in. And so Sam proceeds to go in, and of course, you can tell right here that there's something really wrong with John Walker. He's losing it, man. But anyway, they go to the next scene is the funeral of this Mama Donya, and Carly is talking about how this woman took her in and took care of her when she was lost and she had nothing and she was alone, and then Carly spots Sam up there, and she starts to point out that the government, them, how they're not helping them and they're not taking care of them. So they've got to do it for themselves. They got to stand up for themselves. And then it goes back to Captain America, or I'm sorry, I don't want to call him Captain American. And we'll find out a little bit later why. But it goes back to John Walker and Bucky and Zemo there. And he's pacing back and forth, and he's losing it, like I said. And then it goes back to Sam, and he is getting ready to talk to Carly, and he tells her that he's come alone, and he starts talking to her, and he sympathizes with her right here, but she doesn't want to hear him. She doesn't think that he understands what she's going through, and maybe he doesn't, but I think he does. I think he knows more than she knows he knows about, displacement and all this. Because, I mean, if you remember in the first episode of this show, he couldn't even get a loan to save his family boat and stuff. So, but anyway, he's trying to talk her out of what she's doing, and he says that he understands, he gets where she's coming from, but he can't get behind the way she's doing it. And then it goes back to John Walker, and he's pacing back and forth, like I said, and he looks at the clock, and he's losing patience. And so, and he starts to go towards the door, and Bucky stops him, but he tells Bucky, like, you're just gonna let your partner, in there, and he could be killed and everything, you're not gonna even help him, blah, 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 making Bucky feel bad. Then it goes back to Carly and Sam, and he was actually getting through to her by, pointing out that, the way she's doing things is not right, and that probably Mama Donya wouldn't like what she's doing. But just at that moment, John Walker comes through and says, Carly Morgenthau, you're under arrest and all this, like he's in charge. And of course she accuses Sam of tricking her until his backup arrived and all of this. And that's not the way it went down, but that's the way it went down. And so they start fighting, and she runs off, and they run after her to look for her. And Zemo, meanwhile, has gotten away, and Bucky and Sam lose her. Through that whole maze of a building there, and she's running through, but Zemo has found her, and he shoots her, and he's running towards her. She ducks behind a table, and she loses the bag of serum that she had, and he sees it, and he picks up a vial, and he looks at it, and he says, is this what I think it is? And he throws it down and starts stomping on all of them and everything. And then Captain America comes in and throws his shield at Zemo and knocks him out. And then Captain America runs over there, and, Carly gets away, of course. And Captain America sees a vial, a stray vial, in the corner there. And he picks it up, puts it in his pocket. Bucky and Sam come in, but they don't see him with, you know, the vial. And so it goes to Carly, and she is doctoring up her wound from Zemo shooting her. And she's got her other two guys there that from the Flag Smashers, and they're talking about having to deal with these group of people, you know, with Bucky, Sam, and John Walker and Lamar and all them. They have to deal with them because they're going to be a problem. And as they're discussing this, they get a text from the power broker, and he is wondering or wanting them to bring him his serum. And of course, you know, Zemo has just destroyed, you know, every one of the vials except for the one that John Walker picked up. But anyway, and so they're, you know, the power broker is threatening them, but and they're scared that they can't take, like, deal with both enemies at once. And but Carly says that she'll deal with the power broker later, and then she comes up with a plan to deal with Sam and his crew. She says that we separate them and I can kill Captain America. So her plan is to kill Captain America to deal with Sam, Bucky, and all them. So back at Zemo's apartment, he's asking Sam if he was ever offered the serum, the Super Soldier serum, and Sam says no. And so Zemo asks him, if you ever were, would you have taken it? And Sam says no. And Zemo's impressed with him not hesitating to say no. But he tells Sam that no matter what he thinks of Carly, they can't let them live, you know. And he could, because, you know, super soldiers shouldn't be allowed to, you know, run freely. And Sam points out that isn't that the way gods talk? And if that's really how he feels, then what about Bucky? So he says that blood is not always the solution. And so Bucky comes in at that point, and he points out that John Walker is crazy because, you know, he knows crazy because he is crazy. And he gets mad at Sam. He says you shouldn't have given him the shield. And Sam says, I didn't give him the shield. And Bucky's reply to that was, well, Steve sure didn't. And just as they're having that discussion, John Walker comes in and starts making his little demands and everything. And he says to hand Zemo over. And, you know, Sam gets up and says, no, we're not going to do that just yet. And as they're arguing over this, a spear comes in the room and hits the wall in between Sam and John Walker. And of course, it's the Dora Milaje, and they want Zemo. That time is up, you know. And John Walker, being, you know, the arrogant person he is, he, you know, tries to tell them that, you know, they don't have no jurisdiction here, but the Dora Milaje have jurisdiction wherever the Dora Milaje is what Ao says to him. And he touches her on the shoulder, and then they start fighting. So meanwhile, while John and Lamar are fighting these the Dora Milaje off, you got Sam, Bucky, and Zemo standing in the background just watching. And and Sam says that Bucky and him should do something. And Bucky does go in and tries to calm Ao down, but she starts fighting him too. And during all of this, Zemo uses this opportunity to sneak out. And then one of the women that I think she's fighting, John Walker, I guess, she throws her spear and gets his shield stuck. And Ao is fighting Bucky, and she literally disarms his arm. It falls off. And she walks over there to look in the bathroom, and Zemo has snuck out through a hole in the underneath the bathtub. And the Dora Milaje woman that was fighting Captain America, she releases his shield, and of course she kicks it up and picks it up, you know, and she's holding it. And of course Ao comes in and says, leave it, you know. And this is important because it's part of my trivia. So, but anyway, and Bucky puts his arm back on, and Sam asks him if he knew that they could do that. And of course Bucky didn't know that they could do that. And John Walker is sitting there, and Lamar goes up to him and asks him if he's okay. And right here, John Walker looks defeated, and he's like, they weren't even super soldiers, you know? And, you know, a part of me wants to feel bad for him right here, but then after what happens at the end of this episode, and if y'all are listening to this, I hope y'all have already watched the whole thing. But after what happens, you know, like I said, at the end of this episode, I don't feel one bit sorry for him at all. But also, not only what happens at the end of this episode, but even before he got his ass kicked right here, I still don't really feel much sorry for him because he every time he's involved in anything, he's so arrogant. He thinks he's in charge. He's not in charge. He is not. I mean, he's got the shield and he's got the costume and they call him Captain America. But dude, you respect is earned, you know? You're not, you know, Steve Rogers. You are Captain America, but you're not that Captain America, okay? So, you don't get to be this way. You don't get to come in and shoot orders to Bucky and Falcon. It's just like, I think it was the second episode. Yeah, where he was telling Sam that, you know, he's his wingman, you know? No, dude. Sam was Steve's wingman, not your wingman. So Bucky and Sam notice that Zemo has escaped. And so the next scene we see, it goes to back to John Walker and Lamar. And there's these people that come up and they want John Walker's autograph. And so I think this is probably part of his problem. You know, he's got fame that he didn't really earn. Steve Rogers earned that fame. And people are having a hard time, you know, separating, you know, John Walker is not Steve Rogers, you know. They don't know that, you know. I mean, well, they do know that, but they're not, I don't know how to say this. It's kind of like the actor and the in the character. People are having a hard time separating those two, you know, because, like I said, Wyatt Russell, he's been getting bullied for playing this character. So they're having a hard time separating him from his persona, which is what's happening here in the show. The American people are having a hard time separating Captain America with John Walker. So, but anyway, and so that is getting to his head, and it is bothering him. And it's, you know, he says this to Lamar, you know, like, because he questions Lamar if you had the serum, would you do it? You know, would you take it? And Lamar says, yeah, he would. And he asks him, it wouldn't worry him if it would change you or anything. And Lamar is like, well, it just makes you, it just enhances who you are, you know, like, Carly Morgenthau is she's bad. And, Steve Rogers was good. And John Walker asks him, you know, what does he think it would do to him? And Lamar says that he already has 3 Medals of Honor. He doesn't need anything. You know, he's already a leader. And John Walker right here says that that was probably, you know, what they had to do in Afghanistan. He doesn't feel like he probably deserves those Medals of Honor, you know. He says that what they had to do in Afghanistan felt a long way from right. And he said that if they had the serum, that they probably could have saved more lives that day. And I'm not sure what he had to do in Afghanistan. We may find out, we may not. But I'm pretty sure, you know, soldiers have to do some pretty horrific things. So, but he says that being Captain America is the only thing that feels right. So, but anyway, it goes. The next scene we go to is Sarah. And Carly Morgenthau calls her on the phone, and Carly Morgenthau makes threats to Sarah and her 2 children because she wants to talk to Sam, and if, you know, if he doesn't meet with her, then she's gonna, you know, do something to Sarah and her children. So Sarah calls Sam. The next scene we see is Sam on the phone with Sarah, and She tells him that that Carly threatened her and the boys, and so Sam tells her to go and hide, and then he tells Bucky that Carly wants to meet with him and that Carly wants him to come alone, but of course Bucky, he's gonna go with him. He's not gonna let him go alone. And so they go and they meet up with Carly, and Sam is like, "You threatened my family," and Carly's like, "You know I wouldn't have hurt your family. I just needed to know you better." And she tells him that it would be meaningless for her to hurt Sam, because he's not hiding behind a shield. She says that she either wants him to join her or just let her go. And then, just as they're having this conversation, Sharon finds out where John Walker is and tells and informs Sam that John Walker has found where the Flag Smashers are at. And so, it starts a fight between Carly, Sam, and Bucky. But they get away. Everybody goes and they go to John Walker, and he's in the building there, and he loses sight of Lamar. And he starts looking for Lamar, and then a Flag Smasher comes up on him and starts fighting him and everything like that. And then Sam gets to the scene, and he's watching John fight this super soldier, and he sees John bend a pole in half and throw this super soldier across the room like a rag doll. And Sam is like, "What did you do?" Of course, John's response to this is they've got Lamar and everything. And of course, Sam follows him, and they're trying to find Lamar. Lamar is meanwhile tied up, and he's trying to free himself. And Bucky arrives on scene, and he has to fight off his own super soldier. And then it goes back to John and Sam. They find Lamar, I think, but they have to fight off some more super soldiers. And then Bucky and Carly arrive on the scene, and they start fighting amongst each other. Bucky's fighting his own super soldier, and then she starts, trying to fight John Walker. But Lamar comes in just as she's about to attack John Walker, and he tackles her, but she punches him across the room, and it unfortunately kills Lamar at this moment. And the fighting stops, and everybody just looks over there. And then John Walker goes over there and tries to check Lamar's vitals and tells him to get up. But, of course, it's too late for Lamar. And Carly and the Flag Smashers start to flee. And John Walker gets up and jumps out the window. And he sees that guy that was talking to Carly earlier in the episode that was a fan of Captain America when he was younger. And Captain America starts chasing him and asking, "Where is she?" and everything. And he catches up to him and hits him several times with the shield to knock him down. And the guy is laying there, and he's saying, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me." But John Walker's not even hearing him, I don't think, at this point. And he brings the shield down on this guy several times, and it kills him. Meanwhile, there are a bunch of people with their smartphones out recording what Captain America or John Walker just did. And Bucky, Sam, and Carly are standing in the crowd just looking on in shock. And it does another close-up of John Walker, full body close-up, and it shows the shield with blood on it. And that's how the episode goes off. So, this was really shocking. I never in a million years thought this would ever happen. And, I am so speechless, really, to be honest with you about this. Because Steve Rogers never used this shield to... He used it as a weapon, yeah, but he never used it to really kill anybody. He had that fight with Iron Man in Civil War, but he wasn't going to kill him with it. He used his shield to disarm Tony Stark, not to kill him. But anyway, that was the end of that episode, and that was a doozy of an episode. And I'm looking forward to next week, so... That's all I gotta say on this episode, so y'all stay tuned for trivia. So I have three pieces of trivia for you. The first one says, the first appearance of Wakanda since the passing of Chadwick Boseman, who played King T'Challa in Black Panther. And I just want to say rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. Number two, Bucky as White Wolf is different from the comic persona, as in the comics, White Wolf is the loyal adopted brother of Wakanda's King T'Challa and is the chieftain of the Hatsiras and country's secret police and a brutal warrior. And, I know I slaughtered those names and I am so sorry. But anyway, so number three, the first time Captain America's shield, which is made of vibranium, is claimed by a Wakandan, in this case, a member of the Dora Milaje, Wakanda is the location of the majority of the rare vibranium metal. However, at Ao's behest, the shield is immediately returned to John Walker. And that's going to do it for trivia, so y'all stay tuned for news. So, some news from Marvel Studios. They announced that the Fantastic Four feature film makes way for Marvel's first family, Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, Sue Storm, Invisible Woman, Johnny Storm, Human Torch, and Ben Grimm, The Thing, closing out the Walt Disney Company's Investor Day presentation. Kevin Feige, President Marvel Studios and Chief Creative Officer, Marvel revealed the studio will bring one of Marvel's most iconic families to the big screen with the release of Marvel Studios' Fantastic Four. Spider-Man veteran John Watts is on board to direct. So, I look forward to that. And that's all the news I have. Y'all stay tuned for listener feedback. Okay, so tonight I have five pieces of feedback. I've got one from Robin. She said Bucky is loyal to the Wakandans, but he's also in a difficult situation with them right now over Zemo. She says Carly is trying to do the right thing, but she's also killing people, and the serum probably is having an effect on her. She said, yeah, the pressure is getting to John Walker because of the pressure of trying to be Captain America. She said John Walker made her more nervous when he picked up the serum than Zemo did. She said she didn't feel bad for John Walker when the Dora Milaje beat him, and she wasn't surprised the Dora Milaje could disarm Bucky. She said John Walker is not Captain America because Steve would have never used the shield in the way that John Walker did at the end there. And then I got three listener feedbacks from the Falcon and the Winter Soldier Appreciation Society face group. Chloe from that group said that she likes the relationship that Bucky has with the Wakandans. They helped unbrainwash him, and she questions if that's a word. But anyway, she says she doesn't think that the super soldier serum has corrupted Carly's mind, but the power has. She's going slightly power mad. She said John Walker is definitely losing control. He hasn't realized the difference between being a soldier and being a national symbol, I guess. She was more nervous about Walker picking up the vial than Zemo. And she said that she did not feel sorry for Walker when he got beat by the Dora Milaje because he had it coming. She said she also didn't see it coming when Bucky got disarmed by the Dora Milaje. And she said that her mind was absolutely blown. She can't wait until Friday about that ending. Sagnik said, I think the Wakandans don't feel that Bucky is weak, but they have a parent-like connection because they kind of expect that he could stay loyal to him for giving him a brand new life. from Bucky's point of view, Wakandans are their lifesaver, and so he feels he is accountable to them. He said, yes, he thinks that the serum has brought superiority complex into Carly's personality. She tries to avoid it, but it overcomes her at times. He said, John Walker is losing control because he was the best of the lot back in his army days, but here he sees that he is far from being the best. Even non-super soldiers are neutralizing him with primitive weapons like spears. He said that Walker made him more nervous because Zemo is cold-blooded and will never use it. The serum, that is. He also killed the scientist back in Metropore for the same reason. Walker, on the other hand, wants to leave a mark on this new world. He said, I don't feel good, but there's nothing you can do if you try to mess with the Dora Milaje. And, of course, he's talking about when the Dora Milaje beat John Walker up. He said that, actually, I anticipated this as soon as Bucky entered the scene. Walker is crossed. It crossed my mind that, hey, the arm is Wakandan, right? What if the Wakandans can control it? Talking about when Bucky got disarmed by the Wakandans. And then he was expecting death. Lamar's death didn't surprise him. To him, the Battlestar was a product of nepotism, as there are many decorated soldiers, but he was there particularly, not anyone else. Bucky had a vibranium arm. Walker had a vibranium shield. Falcon can fly. Lamar had a knife. Good guy, but he didn't belong there. The death of the super soldier was brutal, and it's a symbol that people can no more say Marvel is any vibrant colors and fireballs and laser beams. And Valerie said, I personally love the relationship between Bucky and the Wakandans because they were the first group of people to treat him like a human being post-Winter Soldier mode. He could be himself there, and they took him in and helped nurture him, and so now they have this bond with one another. They even learned to speak their language despite really not needing to. She says, I don't know if the serum is corrupting Carly, but you can tell that the knowledge that the enemy is closing in on her is making her more rash decisions. She can make a difference before something happens to her or her friends' people. She said, absolutely, you can see with each episode that Walker is unraveling. Every time he is made to feel inferior in any way, we already saw him suffering from anxiety in the first scene he was in because he was stepping into such big shoes. He is definitely hyper-focused on every single mistake he makes or thinks he might be making. She said, Walker was the one that made her nervous. He has an inferiority complex and clearly has thought about closing that gap once he got his hands on the serum, whereas Zemo has expressed his hatred of super soldiers from the beginning. Taking it would have gone against everything he's done so far. And then she said that she didn't feel sorry for Walker at all. He has been so absorbed in the whole, but I'm Captain America, you must respect me, that he forgot that he doesn't own the place everywhere he goes. And then she said, I imagine that being able to remove the arm has practical reasons, and so I wasn't surprised that it could be done, but I was surprised that they hadn't actually told Bucky about it. And she said that the ending was so dark, but in a good way. Walker was just hyped up on serum, watching his friends die, and fell into a rage that was actually followed through with brutal revenge, and she loved it. And lastly, Amy says, Bucky and the Wakandans have a strong bond. As they helped him be free, I think the relationship's mutual. She doesn't think the serum has corrupted Carly's mind. Yes, John Walker was losing it, but it also might be PTSD. Walker made her more nervous when he picked up the serum than Zemo did. Walker deserved to get beat by the Dora Milaje. She wasn't shocked when the Dora Milaje disarmed Bucky. They are so advanced, and he was a risk. A safety button essentially was needed. On the ending, it was committed in a red haze. His partner had been brutally killed, and he himself was to be assassinated. Put that with PTSD and pressure, I wasn't surprised he was violent from the start. I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody who sent me in listener feedback. I really appreciate all of that. If y'all want to leave me listener feedback, most of my social media platforms, which I am on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I think I said Facebook already, I'm not sure. But anyway, you can find me on all of those platforms at Talking About Fun TV Shows, except for Twitter. That one is at Talking About FU1. And then also my email is talkingaboutfunthings@yahoo.com. So that's going to do it for this episode. I appreciate everybody who listened in tonight, and y'all keep having fun. So, with power comes, you know, not responsibility, but, because that's the wrong movie, but...